Hello and welcome to The Corridor here on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario, and podcasting on Spotify and Apple Music. I'm Dinah Jansen, and with me is CFRC Local Journalism Initiative news producer Jesse Bell. This regional news program features news from Kingston and area provided by local and regional journalists through the support of the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Welcome and enjoy. Welcome to The Corridor, brought to you by Realtor Kim Purcell of Sutton Group Masters Realty. Connect with Kim today to find a new home tomorrow via kimpurcell.ca. I'm Dinah Jansen. Our top story is from CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative reporter Christina Laurie, covering Kingston City Council's motion to advocate for a stop in Kingston on the proposed Alto High-Speed Rail project.
At their Tuesday night meeting, Council had the opportunity to speak with representatives from Alto, the agency charged with recommending a high-speed rail route from Quebec City to Toronto, and passed a motion making the addition of a Kingston stop the condition for council support on the route's southern leg. Alto representatives confirmed that the high-speed rail project currently has a mandate from the federal government to include 7 stops, and Kingston is not one of them, in spite of having the 4th busiest VIA rail station in the country. Kingstonians across sectors appeared before council to share the importance of a stop in Kingston, including Queen's students.
This high-speed rail project will reshape existing networks, and if it proceeds as currently conceived, it will lead to fewer stops, higher prices, and reduced service in our area. For students already facing rising tuition, rent, and food costs, even small increases in transportation expenses can be life-altering.
The president of Kingston Health Sciences Center.
Our ability to deliver the most advanced care in the region depends on the people we can attract and retain. Physicians, nurses, researchers, allied health professionals, and learners, to name a few. A Kingston stop on the proposed Southern Alto High-Speed Rail Line is a vital opportunity to strengthen our healthcare workforce. Strong infrastructure supports strong healthcare, and strong healthcare supports a strong region.
And representatives with Kingston's business community.
Advocating for high-speed rail isn't just natural, it's necessary to secure Kingston's future.
Lisa Asbrook, a representative with the Corridor Train Alliance, a group calling for dedicated passenger rail lines to be built along the Highway 401 corridor, also appeared before council, encapsulating many of the concerns shared by Kingstonians across the board about a route that bypasses Kingston, including impacts on businesses, environment, and rural communities north of Kingston.
The Corridor Train Alliance has been formed with a stated ambition of having every single township and city and organization in Eastern Ontario speak in one voice and ask for a dedicated track in the 401 corridor. Capital isn't coming here. Conferences aren't coming here. Money isn't coming here. And it's because they can't get here. We need to protect the inherent value of farmland and ecologically sensitive areas and wildlife corridors to our neighbors and not divide us against them.
When asked by councillors, Asbrook also dove into more specific concerns for rural communities. Should the route not be built along the Highway 401 corridor?
The people in the rural communities are concerned about what could be akin to like a wall dividing their communities. At grade, fully fenced, divides intergenerational farms. I grew up on an intergenerational farm. It's not tenable for farmers to drive around long distances. It divides country roads. They're concerned about emergency services, bus routes, divisions in small hamlets and communities. Many of us are environmentalists. We see the land trusts, the parks, the wildlife corridors, the biosphere around us. The rural townships have been told to build tourism around food security, local food production, ATV trails, recreation trails. And now those get sliced in half.
Mayor Brian Patterson put forward the motion for council to formally request the Federal Minister of Transportation to enhance Alto's mandate to include the addition of a Kingston stop. The motion also states council will formally oppose the creation of the Southern Alto route if the stop is not added.
I think that every one of us understand that one of the most important success factors for our community is strong transportation links that can get people to and from Kingston. The challenge is that we do not control those links. There are many important issues that we discuss around this table where we are the decision maker. Unfortunately, in this case, we can only advocate. We can lobby. We can make our case, whether that's with air service, rail service, or whatever form of transportation we're talking about. And we're going to continue to do that. But ultimately, if everyone is going to benefit from high-speed rail, the way to do that is to put a fourth Ontario stop right here in Kingston. Right now, there are four stops in Quebec, and there are three in Ontario. And by far, the largest distance between stops currently is between Peterborough and Ottawa. The case is absolutely, in my view, a slam dunk to add one more stop in Kingston. And I think that this motion tonight is definitely a step towards making that a reality.
Two amendments were made. One clarifying the route should not be changed to the detriment of nature or rural communities, and one changing wording to ensure that it was clear that council does not support the current proposed route. However, some councillors, like Councillor Connie Glenn, still feared unintended consequences of the motion, including opening the door to a railway which would be disruptive to Kingston's northern neighbours.
I don't think we've got this right. I don't think this gives enough assurance to our neighbours that we're not going to inadvertently support a southern route that would go through there. And I think that that's why Councillor McLaren brought up the point about the 416. So this is not encapsulating, I think, the true intent that we're trying to do here.
However, other councillors argued now is the time to speak up.
I think that the core of this motion is really just, do we advocate for a stop in Kingston or do we not advocate for a stop in Kingston? I'm fine with it going along the 401 corridor. I think that just makes sense. I think we've heard from our neighbors in South Frontenac how divisive this is. I think at the end of the day, what we need to do as a council and as, you know, a local municipality is just voice where we are on the broader theme of this to the federal government. This, we're not the decision-making body on this. We won't be when it comes time to fund the project. I'm comfortable supporting the motion as is. I think it's very straightforward that either we get a stop railway stop in Kingston or we oppose the overall southern leg of this, which to me just seems like a reasonable position to take. If it's not going to service our constituents, that's who we're here to advocate for. What benefit will it have?
The estimated $60 to $90 billion infrastructure project is still in early planning stages, with consultation ongoing and construction expected to begin in 2029, with the entire network to take 15 years to complete. After a failed attempt to defer, the final motion passed with a vote of 9-2, with councillors Connie Glenn and Jeff McLaren opposed.
Our advocacy is not going to be done on this tonight. This is just one more step and one more battle to try to get those transportation connections right. There are going to be more motions when we're going to talk about Via Rail and connections with Aalto. There is still a lot of runway ahead of us, but I think that this is a good step. It's very clear, very simple, exactly, I think, what Aalto needs to hear in their consultation. And I think it sets us up for those future conversations where we continue to make our voice heard.
For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Christina. Coming up next, we have CFRC's Era McCauley joining us to read a story from the LGA reporter for the Napanee Beaver, Sarah Williams, covering Stone Mills residents' concerns about the proposed Aalto high-speed rail line.
Thank you, Dinah. Momentum is growing in the fight against Aalto's proposed southern route for its high-speed rail project. Canada's first high-speed rail service is a federally backed project that would transport people from Toronto to Quebec City. The impetus for the rail project is at least twofold. As per their website, Aalto notes the Toronto-Quebec City corridor is home to 44% of the nation's population. Current rail options, they state, can't keep up with increasing transit demands. On the other hand, the new rail line is set to beef up the economy and free up space for freight trains, facilitating better movement of goods and supporting economic growth. As per Aalto, once completed, the project is expected to generate an annual GDP uplift of 1.1%. By today's standards, this would be equivalent to $24.5 billion. Stops will include Toronto, Peterborough, Ottawa, Montreal, Laval, Trois-Rivières, and Quebec City. Aalto's route is not confirmed as of yet. They are currently deliberating the merits of a northern route, which would follow Highway 7, versus a southern route, which would dip south towards Belleville, Napanee, Kingston, and surrounding areas. While the benefit for urban commuters is clear, what happens to the landowners in between has some questioning the new project. Montreal-based think tank MEI argues Canada's first high-speed rail project will have disproportionately negative repercussions for landowners. According to MEI, the High-Speed Rail Network Act, buried in the federal budget omnibus bill, introduces sweeping changes to the Expropriation Act, allowing the government to fast-track the project by overriding long-standing expropriation steps. Changes include eliminating public hearings. Previously, if an objection was received, the Ministry of Transport could call a public hearing to consult with the wider community about the impacts of the proposed expropriation. With the new bill, this type of recourse has been eliminated. Still, while public hearings may no longer be possible regarding expropriation, the public, along with several municipal governments, is decrying the proposed southern route that would see large swaths of land expropriated. Recently, the town of Stone Mills passed a motion opposing this. There, citizens spoke openly and loudly about their concern. Residents feel they do not have enough clear, accessible information about what is being proposed in the area, says resident Heather Levy. They are struggling to understand the purpose and scope of public consultation. Levy noted residents are concerned about damage to existing residences and farmland, impact on ecologically sensitive areas, and access issues where roads may be cut off or rerouted. Residents are asking how essential services would reach communities if rail infrastructure created dead-end roads, said Levy. Yet other residents voiced concerns regarding the rail line's intersection with an important ecological area. I don't believe it's any coincidence the southern route parallels the Cataraqui Trail, said resident Ted Darby. A representative from the Frontenac Arch Biosphere, Susan Maswell, explained the route would cut through important ecological lands that stretch from the Adirondacks to Algonquin. And while some conservation groups along the proposed route have been contacted, she noted the biosphere was not. South Frontenac Township and Rideau Lake Township have also officially opposed the southern route for the high-speed rail. Upcoming public consultations hosted by Aalto include one on March 5th at the Medoc Township Recreation Center and one on March 25th at the Sterling and District Lions Club. And thank you to Sarah Williams with that story. Coming up next, we have a report from LJI reporter for CJAI-FM Amherst Island Radio Ted Evans about South Frontenac residents' concerns about the proposed Aalto high-speed rail project.
Hi, I'm Ted Evans, local journalism initiative reporter and news director at CJAI, Amherst Island Radio, 101.3 FM in Stella, Ontario. Coming up are some of the top news stories from Loyalist Township. You can hear Amherst Island Radio's news program, North Shore News, on 101.3 Amherst Island Radio or online at cjai.ca. For showtimes throughout the week, check the schedule on our website at cjai.ca.
While Aalto looks to bring a high-speed train through rural parts of Ontario, a citizen-led committee in the area has been compiling concerns and complaints from area residents. The committee, Save South Frontenac, has a group on Facebook and a website where residents can voice their concerns. Mainly, the committee is against the idea of bringing the high-speed train through the area altogether. They also voice concerns about property rights, environmental impacts, and noise levels. Aalto is currently looking for public input about the project with ways to participate on their website. They say they're committed to working with communities to identify potential impacts and address them through design and mitigation. The company also noted the importance of the participation and involvement of Indigenous peoples at every stage to support the federal government's commitment to advance reconciliation. With trains reaching speeds of 300 kilometers per hour or more on approximately 1,000 kilometers of mainly electrified tracks, Aalto claims it will connect millions of people living along the Toronto to Quebec City corridor. The company says its priority is to minimize impacts on private property by following existing corridors, such as highways, railways, utility corridors, and lots lines whenever possible. Once an alignment is defined, the company says it will be able to identify the properties that could be involved. Katie Koopman, one of the committee leaders, spoke about their concerns.
Our concern as citizens of this community we love has a lot to do with how the building of such a project will affect both people and place. People in terms of having properties expropriated, livelihoods devastated, the use and enjoyment of the spaces we love, the trail systems like the Cataraqui Trail, but then also the idea of place. We move here for a reason, for peace, for some quiet, and to raise children in what we might think is a safer environment, to be more integrated into nature. And so we think about how this project is going to devastate the Frontenac Arch Biosphere, which is a UNESCO heritage site.
Koopman noted what community members have been expressing.
The idea of this has stirred a lot of emotions, including grief, thinking about the loss of all of this. and listening to community members share their stories with us as a committee, people are losing sleep. They're not sure if they should be renovating their house. They're worried about losing investments. And so what our community or our committee, is trying to do is to create a platform for South Frontenac residents to be able to voice their opinions and their concerns, but also to provide advocacy tools to make some noise and let the government know that this is not acceptable by us.
Koopman spoke about Aalto's public consultation process.
They were only hosting open houses in the cities that were going to get an actual stop or station. So we made some noise and they heard us and they honored a request, which was great, to have an open house here in South Frontenac. Gord Bolton and I are committee leads of Safe South Frontenac. So we have phone chats almost every single day, looking at what our, you know, reevaluating what our role and goal is, purpose as a committee, how we can extend our reach. I reached out personally to Peter Paz from Aalto, and they were very receptive of our idea.
Koopman detailed the outcome of the committee's meeting with Aalto and spoke about their experience at Aalto's open house in South Frontenac.
We had a meeting and their team was very receptive, allowing for us to not even just bridge that sort of divide and share space, but also to have free range. We were able to conduct our own survey with community members. We were able to identify ourselves as Save South Frontenac team members at the event, to be able to engage freely, and to also put our own posters up advertising our own open house. It was very cordial. The turnout was impressive. There was probably close to 600 people that went through the first half, I think, is what I heard.
Aalto noted where property rights are required for the project, owners will be compensated at market value for the property being acquired, as well as for potential losses and reasonable third-party fees incurred. Noting concerns about environmental impacts, Aalto said the project will be subject to a federal impact assessment that will evaluate environmental effects and mitigation measures before any final alignment is approved. The company also noted that field studies are underway to establish baseline noise levels and additional data will be collected as route selection progresses. Kingston City Council recently voted 9-2 in support of having the high-speed rail built in Kingston with a local station added to the line. But as council discussed the proposal and heard from senior representatives of Aalto, support grew for a new route along the Highway 401 corridor. The company told Kingston City Council that the current public consultation period is part of a development phase that is set to last until 2029. After that, Aalto will be reporting to the federal government and they will make the final decision to continue the project or not. Koopman spoke about Kingston City Council's decision.
Their tone at the council meeting brought some relief. I think they finally started to understand the implications of their desire for a train that could harm their northern neighbors. They started to take that seriously, and that is being reflected in their current position on where a train should be located. We know that Kingston needs reliable rail. We want to take advantage of that ourselves, but we want the least impact possible and the maximum benefit. Because if there was a train that went through the Southern Corridor, South Frontenac residents will not benefit at all. We will be in the loss.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans.
And thank you to Ted Evans for that story. Coming up is CFRC's Era McCauley, who will read another story by Napanee Beaver LGR reporter Sarah Williams about Greater Napanee's passage of a bylaw to purchase a new space for a local walk-in clinic.
Thank you, Dinah. Greater Napanee Council passed a bylaw authorizing the sale of 12 Market Square to Deepak Danani for $380,000 plus HST during their February 10th meeting. They also waived the conditions for the sale of the property. Michael Nobes, General Manager of Growth and Infrastructure, provided a brief overview of the sale. We had 12 Market Square listed for sale at $495,000 on August 20th, 2025, with an offer date of October 15th, Nobes noted, but received no offers. Following that period, Nobes recalled the price was lowered to $395,000 $300,000, and on January 21st, 2026, Tahani placed an offer for $380,000. The sale has a closing date of March 30th. The proposed use for the building is a pharmacy slash walk-in clinic. The purchaser has experience developing and operating these in Belleville and Trenton, Nobes explained. The net proceeds of the sale will be just over $350,000, which Nobes reminded council would be used towards the Market Square Reserve. This money will in turn be used for the revitalization of the exterior of Town Hall and Market Square, along with interior design works underway. Councillor Bill Martin reminded everyone about Heritage Week from February 16th to 22nd. Martin noted there will be 24 enlarged reproduction photographs in the corridor of the hospital leading down to the clinic area. The display will remain until April 6th. It will be a sort of memory lane of days gone by, suggested Martin. Heritage Week has been celebrated on the third week of February since 1985, when the provincial government designated that week as Heritage Week. And thank you again to Sarah Williams for that story. Now back over to Dinah Jansen with a story by LJI reporter Keith Dempsey for the Brockville Recorder and Times about an expected power outage for the town of Gananoque.
Eastern Ontario Power is advising customers in the town of Gananoque that a mandatory outage is scheduled for Sunday, March 1st from 6 to 10 a.m. During that time, Hydro One will take the town's main electrical feed offline to carry out system upgrades, resulting in a community-wide loss of power. Utility officials say the early morning window was selected in an effort to limit disruption for residents and local businesses while allowing crews to complete the work safely. In an effort to minimize the inconvenience, the outage has been scheduled at times thought to be least disruptive to our customers, said Jackie Bird, regional manager with Eastern Ontario Power. We recognize the inconvenience this Hydro One mandatory outage may cause our customers, and we encourage customers to plan accordingly and thank them for their patience and understanding. Customers can find more information about planned outages on Eastern Ontario Power's website and are encouraged to follow the utility on social media for updates. Residents may also contact the utility directly by phone or online for further details. Eastern Ontario Power serves approximately 3,700 customers in Gananoque. And thank you to Keith Dempsey for that story. Coming up, we have a story by Michelle Dory Forstel, LGI journalist for the Kingstonist, about quick-thinking strangers recognized for saving a man suffering from a roadside cardiac arrest. And now from the Kingstonist, we've learned that a delivery driver who blocked a roadway to halt traffic and recruit help and two motorists who rushed to assist were recognized Tuesday after working together to aid a man suffering a medical emergency behind the wheel. On Tuesday, February 17th, Frontenac Paramedic Station 2 at 905 Woodbine Road in Kingston hosted the recognition ceremony where Tim Keeling and his family personally thanked the citizens who saved his life last year. Mayor Brian Patterson and representatives from Frontenac Paramedics and Kingston Fire and Rescue were also on hand, acknowledging the courageous actions of the civilians and first responders with certificates and words of appreciation. Tyler Ewell was making a routine delivery in a Napa auto parts truck when he noticed a vehicle stopped in the middle of the road with hazard lights. At first, he assumed the vehicle was broken down, but as he drove past, he saw that the driver was slumped over in his seat. The man's wife appeared distressed and the dog was freaking out, Ewell said. I thought there's no way there's just sitting there for no reason, he said. Ewell pulled his truck across the roadway, blocking both lanes and stopping traffic. Then he approached passing drivers to ask for help. I stopped as many cars as I could, he said, and I was telling people, this dude's having a heart attack, I'm trying to get people to help me out with him. Among those who stopped were Charles Nicholas and Samantha Armstrong, who had been on their way to the hospital to visit a family member. They said they immediately understood the urgency when Ewell flagged them down at an intersection, and when he explained the situation, they both jumped out of their vehicle to help. When they reached the car, they found Keeling unresponsive and the vehicle still in drive. With the help of several other bystanders, they pulled Keeling from the car and moved him safely to the roadside. It was surreal, Nicholas said. You know what people are talking about when they say time slows down? It happened. Some bystanders began performing CPR on Keeling while emergency crews arrived within minutes to take over care. All three rescuers said they acted out of instinct rather than formal training. Once somebody needed help, we just did it, Armstrong said. There was no question about it. Ewell said he was motivated in part by what he learned in school about the bystander effect, the tendency for people to hesitate to intervene in emergencies when others are present. If you see something like that, you've got to break that effect immediately, he said. Once you break it, everyone follows. The three were honored at Tuesday's ceremony while Keeling's family thanked the passersby for their quick thinking and willingness to intervene. Ewell attributed the outcome to the response of ordinary people, saying there were many great people out there that were able to help.
All three said they hope their experience encourages others not to hesitate in similar situations. Look at what's going on and help as much as you can, Nicholas said, adding, I think most people are like that anyways. Frontenac paramedics Jessica McKay, Trevor Roffey, and Julia Socha, as well as Kingston Fire and Rescue's Don Newton, Sebastian Lalonde, Joshua Blackburn, and Leslie Feeney were also involved in the life-saving response and recognized for their efforts to save Keeling. And thank you to Michelle Dory Forstel for that story. Coming up, we have the CFRC Environment Canada weather forecast for the Kingston region. For Tuesday night, we can expect mainly cloudy skies with snow beginning near midnight around 2 to 4 centimeters, with wind becoming southeast at 20 kilometers an hour toward midnight, a low minus 11. On Wednesday, we'll see periods of snow with a high plus 1. Wednesday night, cloudy periods with a 60% chance of flurries and a low minus 10. On Thursday, expect cloudy skies with a 30% chance of flurries and a high minus 2. Thursday night, cloudy with a low minus 7. And Friday, cloudy skies with a high plus 3. And Friday night, cloudy with a 40% chance of flurries and a low of 0. And now it's time for the CFRC Concert and Events Calendar. Coming up on Tuesday, Tom's Toonsday Happy Hour Jam is heating up the evening in full force at the RCHA starting at 4, but you can also drop into Daft Brewing for Euchre Night at 7 or Musiki's Open Mic at 8 o'clock. On Wednesday, check out Hollow Body at Hotel Wolf Island starting at 6:30, Youngblood at the Isabel at 7, or Juliana Riolino and Cassie Velazza at Broom Factory at 7:30. Or you can also have fun with friends at Board Games Night at Something in the Water at 5, Trivia at Daft Brewing at 7, or Karaoke at the Mansion at 9. On Thursday, events and screenings kick off for the Kingston Canadian Film Festival at Broom Factory, the Isabel, Kingston Grand Theatre, and the Screening Room. Visit kingcanfilmfest.com for details and ticket information. Show highlights for Thursday include Born Ruffians at Signal Brewery at 8 o'clock, Arkells at the Broom Factory at 8:30, and also Ben Hickling at Hotel Wolf Island at the same time. There's also a burlesque show at Daft Brewing on Thursday night as well at 8 o'clock, and trivia at Riverhead, Grad Club, Something in the Water, and Queen's Pub. On Friday, CFRC's own John McClurg plays Kirkpatrick starting at 5 o'clock, and the Kingston Baroque Consort is hosting a Bach, Vivaldi, and more concert at St. James Anglican at 5:15. Miss Emily takes the stage at the Cove Inn at 7 o'clock. Dominique Fils-Aimée is at the Isabel at 7:30. And July Talk with Born Ruffians at Grand Theatre is happening at 7:30. You can also check out The Ancient Shapes, Maud Lang, and local legend Mississippi Grover at the Toucan at 10:30. On Friday, you can also check out Trivia at Wild Wing at 7 o'clock, a burlesque show at the Royal Theatre in Gananoque at 8, or karaoke at the Buckle and Daft Brewing kicking off at 9 o'clock. On Saturday, you can go see Abby Stewart at the Embassy at 7, the Big Fat Horn Band with Michael K. Myers and Debbie Feely at the RCHA at 8, Last Call, Dutch Baby, Naked by 9, and LNRK at the Mansion at 9, or Squid Pistol at the Merchant at 10 o'clock. Alongside more amazing Kingston Canadian Film Festival events and screenings you can check out via kingcanfilmfest.com. You can also enjoy the Love Sucks Alt-Rock Drag Show at Daft Brewing at 7:30 or My Kinky Valentine Burlesque Show at The Spire at 8. And on Sunday, Tob Savage and friends are playing a weekly gig at the Kingston Yacht Club at 2 p.m. The OG Blues Band is at Spearhead at 2, and you can certainly hit up the Kingston Canadian Film Festival screenings, while the Memorial Centre Farmers Market starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, and some lovely snowshoeing opportunities are available at Little Cataraqui Conservation Area starting at 10 a.m. and for seniors at 1 p.m. Visit our concert and events calendars via CFRC.ca or check out daily posts via at CFRC Music for more concerts and events. Reach out through our website as well if you have a concert or event you'd like to share on our airwaves or through our platforms. That's a wrap for concerts and events. Back to the CFRC News Team. And that's a wrap for this week's edition of The Corridor, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Don't forget to visit CFRC.ca for the latest in local and regional news headlines, concert and events listings, and more. You can also follow CFRC on Facebook and Instagram at CFRC Music and on Twitter X at CFRC. You can support CFRC and its independent news programming by donating via CFRC.ca. We'll be back next week with more in local and regional news. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, situated on the traditional territories of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of Smith Engineering.